This is live, continuing coverage of breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to the Jason Ranch Show. We are in extended breaking news coverage, preempting at least the first hour of the Ben Shapiro Show tonight as protests continue all across the country. And of course, here in Western Washington, where thousands are in downtown Seattle protesting the death of George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd. Now, we're waiting to see what ends up happening because it is now 6:03 p.m., 3 minutes past the 6 p.m. curfew that is now supposed to be in effect in Seattle. And the Seattle PD have been basically applying the same strategy that they've used during May Day protests. When there is no reason to break them up because of any kind of rioting or destruction, this group so far has been peaceful. And what they do is they will guide the marchers around downtown Seattle. They take them on a very specific pathway, one, so that they can control the large numbers so they're not completely disrupting life in the area. But two, and a big part of this is to make them tired so that this doesn't happen all night. And if they're walking, they're at least doing something. If there's fear that there are some folks within the peaceful group that want to commit violent acts, and that almost assuredly exists right now, bad elements in this peaceful group, if you're giving them something to do, then they'll do it. If you're keeping them all in one particular spot, they tend to get antsy and things get to get tense. So right now in Seattle, there is a protest going on downtown, but the curfew in Seattle is 6 o'clock. We can tell you that over the weekend, there were at least 60 arrested, a little under 60 arrested on Saturday in Seattle. We don't know the numbers yet from yesterday in Seattle, but for the most part, it was peaceful. Not so much in Bellevue. In Bellevue, it turned into utter chaos as organized crime, gang members, and or Antifa members were part of a almost sophisticated strategy to loot the Bravern and the Bellevue Square Mall. And they did a lot of looting. They did a lot of looting. There were some businesses that you hope will recover, but you wonder if it will happen. Because some of the video that we saw of people fully ransacking businesses was so incredibly heartbreaking. Joey, whose wife owns Noir Lash Lounge in Bellevue, his business was completely smashed. He spoke with Como TV.
Obviously, we knew it wasn't the safest of environments for her to come down. I'd rather be, you know, reading a story to the kids right now. And I think for a lot of small business owners amongst the COVID shutdown, just having to deal with this is difficult. And, you know, while I support everyone's freedom of speech and the right to protest, what I saw tonight wasn't really that, and a lot of nonsensical behavior. So my only message is, you know, stay safe out there. You know, if you have things to say, that's fair. But I think there are the right ways to do it and the wrong ways to do it. So.
There are right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. And is he being honored? Is George Floyd being honored when you ransack Joey's business? Joey, who's Asian? Not some big, evil, greedy white dude who owns a business? Of course not. They lost a lot of inventory last night.
So we lost a significant amount of our stock. So there was a gentleman who had broken the door and another young couple had come to take some of our products. So we have to do inventory and figure it out tomorrow morning.
Now, close by, there was this cigar shop that was getting looted. Just a few blocks away. Is this the audio with the guns? Because I kind of like this story. They ultimately, unfortunately, were a little bit too late, but either the owners of the building, as they've been described on Twitter, they showed up, they caught looters in the act, and they addressed this by pulling out their weapons, their handguns, and demanding that they get the hell out of that business.
Yo, they got guns, John. They got guns, John. They broke into a cigar shop.
That is whack, bro.
A lot of people coming out.
Stay away.
Come on, business, yo.
It almost sounded like the guy who was videotaping it was shocked that it happened. I'm glad that this happened. This is a way to safely protect yourself. I wish they didn't have to do that. I wish they didn't have to do that. This is a good reminder as to why we have our Second Amendment rights. Now, there are protests going on all across Washington State, Kirkland. There's a little moment in Woodinville. Let's turn off your microphone because it's very loud. Thank you. Happening in the city of Kent, we hear. Renton, Olympia. And, of course, in Seattle. As a result, we've got a bunch of curfews. Bellevue's curfew started at 5 o'clock. Auburn has a curfew of 9 p.m. tonight. Issaquah, 8 p.m. Renton says they're putting together a curfew. They haven't announced that time yet. Tukwila, it sounds like their curfew was around 3:30. They're doing this because they want to make sure that people are safe at home because they understand that there's going to be the potential of a lot of folks coming out and taking advantage of the situation, taking advantage of the pain that a lot of people are feeling. And we got word that asphyxiation is the official cause of death for George Floyd. This doesn't come as a shock. He was murdered. The cop is going to go to jail for a very long time. We expect that the other officers will be charged shortly. But remember, they actually have to look at all the evidence that's come in so they can charge appropriately. You rush this, you risk these people going to trial and then being released because you got a little bit too zealous. You risk that if you rush. I understand why people want this to happen quickly. I get it. You've got one who's been charged and one who's under arrest. That is a win right now. Now, at the same time, we've got word coming from the president that he might implement actual army soldiers, actual military, to come into American cities and get this situation under control unless the individual cities and the states use the National Guard to help curb the violence. We cannot allow rioters and looters taking over our cities.
And as their president, I will fight to keep them safe. I will fight to protect you. I am your president of law and order and an ally of all peaceful protesters. But in recent days, our nation has been gripped by professional anarchists, violent mobs, arsonists, looters, criminals, rioters, Antifa, and others.
And others. We're trying to figure out exactly who's behind all of this. We know that Antifa is a huge part of it. Now, some will have you believe that the president just declared war on American citizens. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. That is ridiculous. Now, Hannah Scott is on site of Seattle and the Seattle protest. She's from our sister station, Kyle Radio. She's going to be joining us live in the next 5 minutes or so. But she's been talking to protesters to get their positions on why they're out.
At the end of the day, all we want to do is let these people know that these voices matter. George Floyd matters, Trayvon Martin matters, Tamir Rice matters, Sandra Bland matters. All these people who've died because of police brutality are important to us still. That's why we're out here fighting today. We're not going to let this slide. There has to be a real change. There has to be prison reform. There has to be cops who are like being monitored. Their activity has to be focused on. We can't just let police brutality slide, you know?
Now, I don't want people to get the idea that what she's saying isn't already happening. Police are being monitored. The SPD is literally still under a federal consent decree. They've been monitored, and they've been doing an amazing job. Now, there's going to be disagreements on individual circumstances in which deadly force has been used. We've heard some folks try to compare George Floyd to the incident against Che Taylor or Charlena Lyles here in Seattle, saying that this was unacceptable use of force. Che Taylor was a rapist who pulled a gun on cops. Charlena Lyles lured people in, police officers in, and pulled a knife on them. Cops are going to defend themselves in those situations. And it is foolish, I think, to compare those situations to George Floyd, which was very clearly a murder. It's officially 6:15, 15 minutes after the curfew went into effect in the city of Seattle, but it doesn't look like the protesters are going anywhere. Joining me on the line live from the scene of the protests in downtown Seattle is Hannah Scott from our sister station, Kyle Radio. Hannah, take us through how the afternoon and into the evening has gone and where they find themselves.
So, yeah, the crowd has gotten much larger, I can tell you, from the few hundred I started with, for at least maybe 1,200 or so, it looks like now. And we are going up, I believe, Pike, and maybe it's 7th or 8th.
Okay.
We were stopped at City Hall earlier where they spoke to the crowd for about 30 minutes. Everything has been peaceful. We looped back around towards Westlake and around University and 4th. The large group of marchers kind of separated a little bit, so there was one on one end going forward and one group on the back end with lines of police officers on both sides. They would stop and have their 5 foot distance and then kind of say a few things to the police officers, and then the police officers would move them on. But a protester went down around 4th and University. I was very close, but I couldn't see how that protester went down. Then you have the calls for medic and all, you know, swearing at the officers. Why did you do that? I don't know that there was any kind of fault on the officer for why that protester went down, but it got a little tense there for a few minutes. We saw maybe double or triple the number of officers there suddenly, and it was kind of like a standoff, and then the cops broke off, and they let the protesters go on their way.
Well, and this is a specific strategy by the SPD, right? I mean, they're trying to stop any potential of this getting out of control. They do it swiftly. They do it as safely as humanly possible, but their intent is not to break up a peaceful protest.
No, absolutely not. That's why you see this. They move down the route a little bit, and then they will stop. The protesters will. They'll have that little 5 foot line. Some of the people at the front will have their say with the officers, and the officers, you know, just take whatever they say. It's not that they're constantly swearing at them or being rude. It's, you know, they say whatever their message is, whether it's about George Floyd or police brutality or whatever it is. And then a few minutes later, the cops will kind of do this grunting sound. They've got the batons, and they just kind of step march towards them. And the protesters know that it's time to move on, and that's just the path that they take throughout the city.
So with the exception of that small skirmish, if in fact that's what it was, how have the relationship been like? What's the relationship been like between the cops and the protesters?
Other than that one incident, I hadn't seen anything even remotely like that. And to be clear, having covered protests in this city for many, many years, that is the kind of situation that 5-6 years ago, I would have seen tear gas. I would have seen flashbangs. I would have seen violence. I would have seen all kinds of, you know, milk being poured in eyes and bloodied protesters. That's not what happened today. It was diffused, and everybody just moved on.
And we should say that this comes at a time where the Seattle City Council is claiming that the police are being a little bit overzealous, and a lot of folks are pointing to video on social media that purports to show them overreacting. But as you know and I know, because we've covered this so much and we know exactly how some of these activists will operate, the video is out of context, and you oftentimes don't see what caused the police to move the way that they do. They're not perfect, but in a lot of these cases, there are instances in which we've seen activists try to get the cops, instigate the cops into some sort of force.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Go back to Occupy Seattle, and that was absolutely the strategy. That was how half of the bad things that happened with the Seattle police officers happened back then. But here, I've not seen that myself, and I've seen a couple of the videos you're talking about. I couldn't say one way or the other. For the most part, the Seattle Police Department has maintained the order. The first night on Saturday, I think things were a little out of control on all sides, but not today at all.
So where is this going?
I believe we might be headed up Capitol Hill and back around, going to the East Precinct, I believe.
And what are their plans? Have they been telling you whether or not they're going to be breaking up soon? Are we expecting what we saw yesterday, which is essentially just them getting them tired at around 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10?
I think that's the idea. As far as the organizers here, everything I can see is them talking about wanting to be able to peacefully protest and march throughout the city and have their say. Their message is important. They want the message not to be lost by the looting and the other things we've seen the last couple of days. It's about George Floyd, which was the tipping point to police brutality that many here still feel, despite all of the changes at SPD, has not been resolved. And they want to see officers who do things like you saw with George Floyd convicted. And that's something that's been lacking. So they just want an opportunity to have their say peacefully, not have their protest hijacked, and not have any office problems with officers.
Yeah, and I'll say this to end, and I'll get your closing thoughts. There doesn't seem to be any disagreement that George Floyd was murdered. Not on the left, not on the right, not down the middle, not from law enforcement. Everyone seems to be on the exact same page like this.
Yes, absolutely.
Do they acknowledge that at the protests? I'm just kind of curious about that, because as they're trying to bring attention to a case that everyone was paying attention to and everyone was pretty much united, what are they saying is next?
Well, and it's about more than that. So, first of all, when we're talking about George Floyd, nobody's going to be satisfied until we see what happens with that officer who was charged, whether there's a conviction. There have been other places in the country where the officer's been charged and they've gotten off. So they don't have a lot of faith that that's going to be the result. But it's also about inequity. It's about racial disparity. It's about some people I talk to say it's about slavery, all of these things. So they all want to be able to have their say. A lot of people here, they've had to go and work essential jobs throughout the COVID shutdown. Well, they tell me that, white people can work at home and have their office and their pay and it's all good. And that, we have the COVID situation in our state where black people have a higher death rate. It's affecting them worse. Not just here, but across the country. And all of those things kind of collectively, I think, are what the messages that they're trying to say.
There you go. Hopefully things stay as peaceful as they are. As it gets later in the night, there's always the concern that it turns into something more. So make sure you're staying safe and get those steps in. We appreciate it, Hannah Scott.
You bet. Thanks, Nathan.
Absolutely. It's Hannah Scott live from the protest in downtown Seattle. Again, if you're just joining us, this is the Jason Rant Show. We're in expanded coverage as protests continue all across the country, all over the outrageous murder of George Floyd. And as I said with Hannah Scott, there's no one arguing in any meaningful way that George Floyd wasn't murdered. There seems to be general agreement across the board, regardless of your race, regardless of your gender, regardless of your religion, regardless of whether or not you work in law enforcement. Law enforcement officials themselves say this was wrong, say this was murder, and they want the officer, Derek Chauvin, to spend time behind bars. I understand why there's some folks who are upset about the time it's taking to charge. I will tell you this. When will you be more upset? Now, when it might take a couple extra days to charge cops, making sure that they have their charges in order, or rushing now and having them get off scot-free? Which will make you more upset? Exactly. Now, at the same time, we have bad faith actors in this community, not just the Antifa losers who decide that they're going to turn to destruction, take advantage of these protests. You've got folks like Shama Sawant, who is a professional agitator. She has made cop hating a sport. And she seems to hope that riots and looting take place because then she could use that to grow her base. She's the one who will stand beside. She's the one who understands why you're looting in this capitalist system. She'll tell you that over and over and over again. She is using what's going on. I referenced it a little bit with Hannah Scott, taking advantage of ignorance in her own base and taking advantage, she thinks, of you and these people who are marching by pretending that the cops are acting out inappropriately in dealing with these protesters. They're not. There's this video that's going around showing a girl having milk thrown on her face because she got hit with tear gas or pepper spray. Happened here in Seattle. When you bring a young girl to a protest that turns violent, you are putting that young girl's life on the line, her safety on the line. The cops did not target some 7, 8, 9-year-old girl. They were targeting the Antifa members, their enablers, the fringe left-wing activists who are committing crimes. Now, Sawant wants you to believe that these cops are trying to do things and get away with it. She tweeted, black tape that obscured officer identification. They claim it's mourning for slain officers. Some officers, many officers, wear a black band around their badge. Now, over the weekend, you heard really, really bad faith anti-cop activists claim this is them trying to get away with protecting their identity. So that when they target for abuse some activist, you're not going to be able to report them. Now, there's a lot wrong with that lie. And yes, it's a lie. People like Shama Sawant who are implying that this is what's going on, they're lying. And they know that they're lying. They lie as they relish this violence in their cop hating. They lie to take advantage of you. And she knows that her socialist alternative goons are too dumb or lazy to Google this. Do you know why, Producer Peyton, the badges are covered like that?
I do not.
You want me to tell you?
I would love you to tell me.
It's called mourning badges. Mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. They're mourning the loss of slain officers. It's called mourning badges. Cops do this. It does not cover their identification. Their names are on every single uniform, and they're very clearly spelled out in block lettering, so even a socialist alternative member could read it. I mean, or at least write down the letters on a piece of paper and then hand it to someone and say, can you read this for me? They're not trying to block their identities. But Sawant is so shameless that she's going to put this out there. And by doing so, she foments more anger between the crowd and the cops. What do you think's going to happen? What do you think happens when you claim that they're abusing you and they're trying to hide their identities? The fighting begets more fighting. The violence begets more violence. It's absolutely absurd. We come back, joining us live, King County Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik, right here, live on AM 770 KTTH and The Jason Rand Show.
This is live, continuing coverage of breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show, an extended version of The Jason Rand Show. As protests continue all around the country, folks who are angry at the murder of George Floyd, folks who, unfortunately, over the course of the last few days, had a message that was overshadowed by bad elements, bad actors, who have decided to turn peaceful demonstrations into riots and into looting. Right now, there are thousands of people in downtown Seattle, despite the 6 p.m. curfew, and they're all peaceful. Joining us on the line is King County Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik. Sheriff Johanknik, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
What can you tell us about the role of the King County Sheriff's Department when there are different sort of demonstrations happening right now all across King County?
Yeah, so as you know, we have a specific jurisdiction and unincorporated King County as well as contract cities. We make sure that our transit, both Sound and Metro Transit, are effective and working. And then we get requested for mutual aid from our partner cities in the County of King, and to the best of our ability, try to provide that mutual aid depending upon the type of request it is.
Have you been having any staffing issues to address all the different actions?
Well, we've been running on a well-oiled machine right now. Our folks are working really, really hard, and tonight's prioritization is our unincorporated areas and our contract cities where, you know, we could potentially have protests or criminals coming in to upset the peaceful protests that you were talking about earlier.
Do you have any information yet as to the elements causing those crimes, the looting and inciting the riots?
I do not, but that is something that is under investigation. It's something we take seriously, and we will try to figure out who the bad actors are, who the criminals are, and take action and work with our partners in that.
Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik of King County is joining us on the line live as we are past the Seattle curfew and getting close to some of the other curfews in King County. As people are still on the streets protesting the murder of George Floyd, you know, I'll ask you the same question I've asked pretty much everyone in law enforcement. I know you're going to give me the same answer, which is, was George Floyd murdered?
Yes.
And it seems to me that there are a lot of folks in law enforcement who hold that exact same position.
That is very true, and I couldn't be prouder of the King County Sheriff's Office and, you know, the skills that my members have in de-escalating and working with the community, and especially as we work with them during these peaceful protests. But the actions taken in Minneapolis, those murder, and people stood, officers stood around and watched it happen, and I cannot be I don't know how to word it more strongly other than to be appalled, outraged, and my heart goes out to the family.
So obviously we know what Derek Chauvin did was wrong and was murder. The question is, what should have the other officers done? And I know that there's talk of more video and there's the potential that maybe one of the officers was dealing with a member of the public at the time. But in a situation similar to that, what should they have done?
Well, what they should have done is gone in and stopped their fellow officer from having their knee on the neck of Mr. Floyd and making sure that he was put in a situation of being able to move to his side or sit up to be able to breathe. So our policy states that if we see somebody using force wrong, using excessive force, that other members of the sheriff's office are to intercede on behalf of the person that the force is being used against and make sure that we stop excessive unnecessary force.
Before we let you go, there are cities in King County right now that have curfews. Mercer Island, I believe, is about to get hit at 7 o'clock. Seattle, of course, was 6 o'clock. Bellevue was 5 o'clock. Is there going to be any enforcement from the King County Sheriff's Office on those curfews?
So we don't have curfews out in the areas that we're working on. I am prepared to talk to the county executive if we get in a place where a curfew might be needed. But I want you to know that I have response teams out and working and on standby to make sure that any criminal disruption, looting, anything of that type, that we will respond and take action and make arrests.
There you go. Make sure you and all your fellow deputies stay safe tonight. Again, we've been talking live with King County Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik. Sheriff, thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show live on this Monday afternoon, an extended version of the Jason Rand Show as we preempt Ben Shapiro, as we've got breaking news happening right now all over the country as folks are protesting the murder of George Floyd, a murder that, as you just heard from Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik, you heard from Sheriff Fortney of Snohomish, you heard from Steve Milette of the Bellevue PD, there's no disagreement, at least that I'm aware of anywhere, in which we've got law enforcement who are saying anything other than this was a murder. They're on the same page. And I think that's important to understand, and it's important to underscore. What I don't want to have happen, what I pray doesn't continue to happen, people taking a position that is just inherently anti-cop. Not anti-Derek Chauvin and Minneapolis, but anti-cop. And there are a lot of instigators out there who hate police officers, and they are taking advantage of what we're seeing right now. There's a video that's going around that's now being investigated by the PD, by the Office of Professional Accountability, or Police Accountability, in which two officers, while trying to subdue a protester who got out of line, ended up using some force. Wasn't deadly. They punched the person. Now, people have posted these videos and said, look at this. This is outrageous. These are cops who just decided to randomly assault someone who was minding his own business. No, that's not what happened. Not only was this individual resisting arrest, the person punched the police officer first. It's literally in the video. But we are to pretend that officers should never, ever, ever, ever use force. I'm sorry, they're going to use force when you attack them. Now, of course, there are instances in which there is too much force being used. But I haven't seen any of that video yet coming from the SPD. I haven't seen any of that yet. But if you're expecting the cops to do absolutely nothing when you try to assault them, when you try to hurt them, when you throw bricks at them, when you throw frozen water bottles at them, sorry, we're not going to live in that world, and I don't want to live in that world. Because that world means cops get hurt and cops die. You can take a very reasonable position of saying you shouldn't just rush to use of force. And obviously, again, what happened with George Floyd was a murder. But it's equally reasonable to say, when you throw a brick at a cop, they have the right to engage. We've seen so much of that happening. So much of that happening. And it's not okay. And it just does not justify some of the behavior we've been seeing. And you've got Antifa in the background and groups like them that are organizing. They're vaguely threatening police. Antifa and their affiliate groups, they openly plot violence. The Puget Sound John Brown Gun Club, they support the Second Amendment. They support it because they use it to try to harm officers. That's what they believe. This is a so-called active resistance group. And on Twitter, they posted a pretty clearly threatening message to cops. All across the country, police are running out of crowd control ammunition and getting surrounded by protesters who outnumber them in magnitudes. Those police are finding out that there's a lot more of us than there are of them. Imagine if we were all armed. What would you do then, Puget Sound John Brown Gun Club? You sound really, really tough on Twitter. What would you do then? Shoot them? Murder them? Antifa and their affiliate groups are inherently violent. They are inherently violent. And that's why earlier today, the president gave a speech from the Rose Garden before his historic walk to St. John's Church that was damaged yesterday by outside agitators who were organized, who did this on purpose, who did this to destroy this country, and then try to rebuild it in a vision that happens to be socialist. President Trump called them out.
And as their president, I will fight to keep them safe. I will fight to protect you. I am your president of law and order and an ally of all peaceful protesters. But in recent days, our nation has been gripped by professional anarchists, violent mobs, arsonists, looters, criminals, rioters, Antifa, and others.
He implored governors to get the National Guard involved so that we don't deal with another night of violence. In Seattle, it's been peaceful. In Washington, it's starting to teeter on the edge of chaos again. New York has implied a curfew of 11:30 tonight because what we saw last night and the night before was shocking. The amount of looting. Now, because we're having some demonstrations here in Western Washington, there are some, of course, traffic issues. We're going to get into them with Chris Sullivan live in just a few moments. You're listening to The Jason Rancho.
This is live, continuing coverage of breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
You're listening to an extended edition of The Jason Rance Show. Ben Shapiro will return at 7 o'clock as we are covering a whole host of different breaking news situations all across the country. We've got another night of protests. For the most part, what we've seen are peaceful protests. In Seattle, we've got thousands of people out on the streets of downtown peacefully protesting in anger of the murder of George Floyd. Now, the good news is it's been peaceful. The bad news is at U Village, there was a whole lot of looting. And right now, there are some traffic considerations. Joining me on the line from our sister station, Kyle Radio, Chris Sullivan, all things, he's like the traffic czar. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jason.
So take us through some of the impacts that we're seeing right now in the Seattle area.
Well, the biggest one is the closure of I-5 in both directions. The State Patrol, for the second night in a row, has decided, after what they saw over the weekend, where people actually made it onto the freeway, that they're going to prevent that from happening. And in case some people get through, they're closing it down to vehicular traffic. So if you're on southbound 5 right now, you're being forced off at 520. You used to be able to get off at Roanoke there as well, but they have closed that right side exit. So everyone's going to have to get off to the left there as you get across the Ship Canal Bridge. In the northbound direction, the closure starts right at I-90. So you're going to be forced off to the right to I-90 or the CD lanes and to work your way there. So that's our biggest thing. Again, it's a precautionary measure because they don't want cars and protesters to mix. It's a very bad situation. So it's precautionary, but second night in a row, I-5 has been closed between 520 and I-90. And with the curfew in effect in downtown Seattle, what we have is we have basically an exclusion zone there. Mm-hmm. Like we saw during the WTO, that extends from 3rd to 7th and from Stewart to Union, kind of around the downtown business core, Westlake at the center, and then kind of branching out in a couple of blocks in each direction.
So if you could just give us some alternative routes for people who have to drive through Seattle and I-5, whether they're going northbound or southbound, what are they doing? Because obviously only one of the directions right now is being impacted.
Both directions actually are.
Oh, now they're okay. Sorry, I missed that part.
Yeah, both north and southbound 5 are being diverted between I-90 and 520, so you can't drive through that part of downtown. One option, if you're on the west side of I-5, you could pay for the go through the tunnel. If you're getting this information early enough, you can bail and go to 405. If you're coming southbound, say out of the Everett area, you can bail and go to 405 and go around on the east side of the lake there. If you're coming up and you want to bail at Tukwila, you can go through Renton up 405 that way, because there really aren't many other ways to get through downtown at this point. If your destination is downtown and you say you work there and you'll be able to get through those exclusion zones once you get onto the city streets, you can always get off of the Boeing Access Road at least northbound and get onto Airport Way, mm-hmm. and work your way into downtown there and then work your way through those checkpoints if you've got to, say, if you're working tonight or if you have reason to be downtown, like you're heading back to your home, things like that.
Peyton just wants to get to Newcastle from here. What should he do before we let you go?
Well, if he wants to go to Newcastle, his best bet at this point would be probably to, wow, that's a good one. I would say sleep at the station.
I was hoping you wouldn't say that.
You can go through North Capitol Hill. He can get that way and hop on 520.
Yeah, you could go that way and pop on 520 if you wanted to. Probably what I might do is I might go kind of through South Lake Union, since the traffic is relatively light these days, and work your way down to I-90 through downtown and work your way that direction. You've got that as an option too.
Thanks, Sully.
There you go. And guess who's driving me home today? I appreciate it, Chris Sully.
Anytime, Jason.
You're listening to the Jason Rand Show right now. Breaking news. Protesters are storming Midtown Manhattan as there are way more reports of property damage. These are not the peaceful protesters. We're seeing a lot of what we saw last night, where just total chaos. And folks were looting businesses in Soho with cameras directly on them. And there was no sense of urgency and no sense of shame. It was remarkable to see that, and we're now seeing it for another night in New York. Locally, earlier on in the day, there was a rumor going around that Covington was going to be hit by these looters and rioters. We've heard lots of rumors of smaller communities potentially getting hit. Joining us on the line is Covington City Council member Christina Soltis. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me back.
So you heard the rumors. It was supposed to be a targeted attack of looting against Walmart and other businesses. What can you tell us?
I heard the rumors just like everybody else heard the rumors. I'd say Covington did an amazing job of preparing. We had additional staff, additional officers brought on board immediately. We had SWAT on standby. And, you know, what proved what was a rumor and was supposed to be a big bunch of people looting and rioting proved to be a lot of young people who just weren't looking for any trouble but wanted to make a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. And so far, we haven't seen any violence in Covington. I should say this earmarked, but cross your fingers. We haven't seen any violence in Covington. We do see a lot of locals and business owners who are here locally in Covington who are doing what I feel like a lot of Americans should have done a long time ago, but standing up for the right, standing up for what's theirs, taking ownership. And, you know, we see dozens of people on the streets protecting armed local citizens, protecting what is theirs. And I am proud to say that is my Covington.
Well, and that's the thing that we've been seeing all across Washington yesterday. Of course, in Snohomish, we saw, images going viral of individuals who decided to take up arms. These are people who are, it's an open carry state, and you get to, as long as you can legally own a firearm, this is one of your rights. Now, we did hear earlier from the governor suggesting that maybe that would not be helpful in that they're not trained, and that is 100% correct. The people who are in Covington or Snohomish, presumably they are not trained the way law enforcement is. So what is your response to that concern? I think it's a valid one.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. Like anyone who has a family who lives in the city, we don't want to see violence. We don't want to see violence. But we can deter violence by presenting yourself and saying, hey, I will go the extra mile, but I will protect what's mine. And nobody's looking to pick a fight. Jason, I think you know that. I think like anyone else, if these businesses, these large businesses could have done anything to avoid and deter the looters, they probably would have. And this is what we in small towns have to do. And again, nobody's looking for any trouble. We're not trying to kill people. But, you know, when you have outsiders come in mm-hmm. to your own city, you stand up for what's yours.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys are safe tonight. I'm glad the rioters and looters haven't come to the city of Covington. It was kind of weird when I saw Covington on that rumored list. I was like, why are you going after Covington? So that's good news that they're not going after your community. Councilmember Christina Soltis, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. We're going to wrap our special coverage up in just a moment. Here's where we're at. There are American cities under siege by violent rioters who are not acting in the best interest of the African-American community. They are not acting in the best interest of those who want justice for George Floyd. They are doing this for two reasons. Number one, some of them are selfish. They're doing it because there's opportunity. At an economic downturn after being kept out of work due to the coronavirus, their struggles, they're taking advantage of this. And then you've got the criminal element. Whether it be organized crime like gang members, which is suspected to have been the reason behind the rioting and looting, more looting in Bellevue yesterday, or Antifa. Antifa being informed by their disgusting ideology, their hateful ideology. We're seeing those people take advantage of this. And it's a shame. Because you know what? Everyone was on the same page. What happened to George Floyd was a murder. The officers should and will be punished. Everyone was on the same page. And there's no reason to turn this into an us versus them. But unfortunately, you have really bad faith people out there. They're taking over New York. They're taking over D.C. They took over and destroyed parts of Philadelphia and Minneapolis, Los Angeles, Santa Monica. Weirdly, not Berkeley. I wonder why that is. Last night in Portland, it was another bad night. The question is, will it get out of control here in Seattle? Right now, thankfully, it's been nothing but peaceful protesters. I hope it remains that way. We're going to continue our coverage on Twitter, so please make sure you follow me there. Text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-877. I'll send you a link. Text Twitter to 1-800-465-877 or find me at Jason Rantz on Twitter. I'll see you there in a bit. I'm listening to the Jason Rantz Show. Ben Shapiro up next.